The shuttle reached the IPL satellite in only a few hours. Interplanetary Launch was a city of 3,000 inhabitants breathing oxygen from the plants that also fed them, drinking water that had already passed through their bodies 10,000 times, living only to service the tugs that did all the ox work in the solar system, and the shuttles that took their cargoes and passengers back to the Earth or the Moon. It was a world where, briefly, Ender felt at home, since its floors sloped upward as they did in the battle school. Their tug was fairly new. The IF was constantly casting off its old vehicles and purchasing the latest models. It had just brought a vast load of drawn steel processed by a factory ship that was taking apart minor planets in the asteroid belt. The steel would be dropped to the moon, and now the tug was linked to 14 barges. Graf dropped his ball into the reader again, however, and the barges were uncoupled from the tug. It would be making a fast run this time, to a destination of Graf's specification, not to be stated until the tug had cut loose from IPL. "It's no great secret," said the tug's captain. "Whenever the destination is unknown, it's for ISL. By analogy with IPL, Ender decided the letters meant interstellar launch. "This time it isn't," said Graf. "Where, then?" "I have command." "I don't have security clearance even to know where that is, sir."
"Your ship knows," said Graf. "Just let the computer have a look at this and follow the course it plots." He handed the captain the plastic ball.
"And I'm supposed to close my eyes during the whole voyage so I don't figure out where we are?"
"Oh, no, of course not.
IF Command is on the minor planet Eros, which should be about 3 months away from here at the highest possible speed, which is the speed you'll use, of course."
"Eros? But I thought that the buggers burned that to a radioactive,
When did I receive security clearance to know this?"
"You didn't. So when we arrive at Eros, you will undoubtedly be assigned to permanent duty there."
The captain understood immediately and didn't like it.
"I'm a pilot, you son of a bitch, and you got no right to lock me up on a rock."
"I will overlook your derisive language to a superior officer.
I do apologize, but my orders were to take the fastest available military tug. At the moment I arrived, that was you. It isn't as though anyone were out to get you. Cheer up. The war may be over in another 15 years, and then the location of IF Command won't have to be a secret anymore. By the way, you should be aware, in case you're one of those who relies on visuals for docking, that Eros has been blacked out. Its albedo is only slightly brighter than a black hole. You won't see it."
"Thanks," said the captain.
It was nearly a month into the voyage before he managed to speak civilly to Colonel Graf. The shipboard computer had a limited library. It was geared primarily to entertainment rather than education. So during the voyage, after breakfast and morning exercises, Ender and Graf would usually talk about command school, about Earth, about astronomy and physics, and whatever Ender wanted to know. And above all, he wanted to know about the buggers.
"We don't know much," said Graf. "We've never had a live one in custody. Even when we caught one unarmed and alive, he died the moment it became obvious he was captured. Even the he is uncertain. The most likely thing, in fact, is that most bugger soldiers are females, but with atrophied or vestigial sexual organs. We can't tell. It's their psychology that would be most useful to you, and we haven't exactly had a chance to interview them."
"Tell me what you know, and maybe I'll learn something that I need." So Graf told him. The buggers were organisms that could conceivably have evolved on Earth if things had gone a different way 1 billion years ago. At the molecular level, there were no surprises. Even the genetic material was the same. It was no accident that they looked insect-like to human beings, though their internal organs were now much more complex and specialized than any insects, and they had evolved an internal skeleton and shed most of the exoskeleton. Their physical structure still echoed their ancestors, who could easily have been very much like Earth's ants.
"But don't be fooled by that," said Graf. "It's just as meaningful to say that our ancestors could easily have been very much like squirrels."
"If that's all we have to go on, that's something," said Ender. Squirrels never built starships, said Graf. There are usually a few changes on the way from gathering nuts and seeds to harvesting asteroids and putting permanent research stations on the moons of Saturn. The buggers could probably see about the same spectrum of light as human beings, and there was artificial lighting in their ships and ground installations. However, their antennae seemed almost vestigial. There was no evidence from their bodies that smelling, tasting, or hearing were particularly important to them. Of course, we can't be sure, but we can't see any way that they could have used sound for communication. The oddest thing of all was that they also don't have any communication devices on their ships, no radios, nothing that could ever transmit or receive any kind of signal. They communicate ship to ship. I've seen the videos. They talk to each other. True. But body to body, mind to mind. It's the most important thing we learn from them. Their communication, however they do it, is instantaneous. Light speed is no barrier. When Maser Rackham defeated their invasion fleet, they all closed up shop at once. There was no time for a signal. Everything just stopped. Ender remembered the videos of uninjured buggers lying dead at their posts. We knew then that it was possible to communicate faster than light. That was 70 years ago. And once we knew what could be done, we did it. Not me, mind you. I wasn't born then. How is it possible? I can't explain philotic physics to you. Half of it nobody understands anyway. What matters is we built the Ansible. The official name is Philotic Parallax Instantaneous Communicator. But somebody dredged the name Ansible out of an old book somewhere and it caught on. Not that most people even know the machine exists. That means that ships could talk to each other even when they're across the solar system, said Ender. It means, said Graf, that ships could talk to each other even when they're across the galaxy. And the buggers can do it without machines. So they knew about their defeat the moment it happened, said Ender. I always figured, everybody always said that they probably only found out that they lost the battle 25 years ago. It keeps people from panicking, said Graf. I'm telling you things you can't know, by the way, if you're ever going to leave IF Command before the war's over. Ender was angry. If you know me at all, you know I can keep a secret. It's a regulation. People under 25 are assumed to be a security risk. It's very unjust to a good many responsible children, but it helps narrow the number of people who might let something slip. What's all the secrecy for, anyway? Because we've taken some terrible risks, Ender, and we don't want to have every net on Earth second-guessing those decisions. You see, as soon as we had a working Ansible, we tucked it into our best starships and launched them to attack the buggers' home systems. Do we know where they are? Yes. So we're not waiting for the third invasion. We are the third invasion. We're attacking them. Nobody says that. Everybody thinks we have a huge fleet of warships waiting in the comet shield. Not one. We're quite defenseless there. What if they've sent a fleet to attack us? Then we're dead. But our ships haven't seen such a fleet, not a sign of one. Maybe they gave up and they're planning to leave us alone. Maybe. You've seen the videos. Would you bet the human race on the chance of them giving up and leaving us alone? Ender tried to grasp the amounts of time that had gone by. And the ships have been traveling for 70 years, some of them, and some for 30 years, and some for 20. We make better ships now. We're learning how to play with space a little better. But every starship that is not still under construction is on its way to a bugger world or outpost. Every starship with cruisers and fighters tucked into its belly is out there approaching the buggers, decelerating, because they're almost there. The first ships we sent to the most distant objectives, the more recent ships to the closer ones. Our timing was pretty good. They'll all be arriving in combat range within a few months of each other. Unfortunately, our most primitive, outdated equipment will be attacking their home world. Still, they're armed well enough, so we have some weapons the buggers never saw before.